This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Land in a hammock outside the patio of a first-level flat. Cardenas circles the bases. I think it landed in a hammock. And now the door opens to that flat. Somebody's walking out there. There's a baseball waiting in a hammock. And the youngster has the ball and throws it in the air. That's the cheer you hear. How did he know it? Was he watching the game?
I don't know, man. When a hammock lands on my patio, I know it. When a baseball, when a hammock, never mind. Oh, I like a little lounge music here on the Adam Gold Show.
I was thinking more elevator music.
No, it's gonna sound like good, like bar lounge music.
Maybe this is what you're hearing when you're checking into your hotel.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, like where we're staying, it's a good hotel. Not giving away our location. We don't want paparazzi. But it's a good hotel, but it's not necessarily, it doesn't have the lobby, it doesn't have all the bells and whistles, but a quality hotel. I think everybody in their mind can come up with something like that, so there's no music playing in the lobby. Although, we'll probably, because everything happens at the Westin in Charlotte starting tomorrow, there will be some libations enjoyed there a little bit later on. All right, and I leave tonight. After the show, we'll head on down to Charlotte. It's the Adam Gold Show. I'm Adam. That is Graham Hill, the new guy, and he's filling in for Dennis Cox, who is en route to Charlotte, North Carolina, where tomorrow we will talk to Dave Doran, among other people. I'm looking forward to that. So this is what we do every day at 1 o'clock, except days we talk to Chip Patterson, and we let you decide. So Graham put out the poll today. You didn't even consult me on the poll, and I thank you for that.
Okay.
I thank you.
You're welcome.
Nobody needs me for the poll.
You scared me for a second. I was like, uh-oh.
No. I don't need to be consulted. It's fine. You can put anything you want on the poll. I don't care. It's just listener's choice. So do we have production for this?
We can get a quick instrumental real quick.
That's good. Do that. All right. So we're typing in one. I can hear you type.
Yes, we're typing in one.
All right, let's see. Play anything. It doesn't matter. No? All right, don't play anything. Oh, very nice. All right, so here it is. We put out a poll. Graham put out a poll earlier today. What should we talk about at 1 o'clock today? Favorite college football memories. Really?
I want to pick your brain a little bit.
All right. What's your favorite college football memory?
The one I could think of right off the bat.
Well, that's what the whole thing is.
Fair.
Your favorite memory should be.
Is college football, ECU versus North Carolina down in Greenville, where it was the 71 point game. And I'm not saying that because I'm not saying which side I was picking, but just the whole atmosphere with the whole, you know, the line of the sky, the purple backdrop, and then the Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium. I might have gotten the trademark Rowdy Dowdy. It was either that or when Russell Wilson threw the interception on the goal line in overtime against the Pirates a couple of years ago. But that whole – I was in seventh grade.
Right.
So that was way back in the day. But that's a fun memory.
Wait, you were in seventh grade when Russell Wilson threw that interception?
No. When the North Carolina –
That wasn't that long ago either.
When the ECU game happened.
God, I don't need to hear this. All right. My favorite college football memory – actually, Maryland rallying from 31 down at Miami to win over the Hurricanes. No joke. That happened. But I was in college at the time. It's amazing that I remember that. Number three on this list, NFL training camp. By the way, did you see the Panthers black helmet?
I did. And you know what's funny? Somebody wrote that in as a write-in. Well, they DM'd me as a write-in option. But, yes, I did see that. You know, if it gets Baker Mayfield fired up along with his Bojangles meal, which I'm curious to see if he's had yet.
Well, he's not in Charlotte yet.
He's not in Charlotte yet.
Not yet.
Well, I mean, if it gets him fired up to play, and, you know, like you said yesterday, we get above average, or it wasn't, I can't remember who it was, but if we get, as long as we get above average Baker this year, doesn't have to be stellar Baker Mayfield, but just above average, 9-win season for the Panthers?
Maybe. I think they have more issues than people want to assign to them, but I like the Panthers' black helmet. I think it's a cool look. I actually like different color helmet options. You know, the NFL did away with that a bunch of years ago for safety reasons, as though you couldn't have two helmets.
Interesting.
I didn't understand that, but they did away with that. Like, could you imagine Oregon if they only had one helmet?
Oh, man, could you imagine Oregon if they only had one uniform?
They have seven different helmets, which is awesome. I think it's fun. Anyway, kind of dig the Panthers' black helmet. Major League Baseball All-Star Game, that came in third. It's all right. Look, I like the All-Star Game. I'll watch a few innings of it tonight. It used to be a better game. The game had a little bit more meaning. The players treated it differently. Now, it's not an annoyance. It's almost... But it is more of an obligation for a lot of the established stars than it used to be. Not to mention the fact that a lot of these guys make so much money that whatever you get from being in an All-Star game isn't that big a deal. I wish Major League Baseball would treat it like the NBA. The NBA All-Star game is treated like, A, it's a party all week.
Yep.
And B, there is an element of those guys that are still trying to prove to each other how great they are. And that happens in the fourth quarter of an NBA All-Star game. They're still trying to prove it to each other. The Major League Baseball All-Star game? Nah, it ain't that. It ain't that. But some of these guys, like, they'll play two innings and they're done.
Yeah.
And by the way, do you see how they're going to settle if it's tied after nine innings? See how they're going to do it? No extra innings. Home run derby.
There
you go. If it's tied after nine.
Now, Aaron Judge did not compete in the Home Run Derby yesterday, correct? So that would be...
No, he did not.
Yeah, so, I mean, there you go. There's a factor for that team.
Yeah, I think he's been a little bit banged up of late because he's been DHing a bunch.
Okay.
I could be wrong, though. But, yeah, it would be great to see all the stars do that, just like the stars don't do the slam dunk competition anymore. But I think it's cool. Home Run Derby... If it's tied after nine, which it probably won't be. And number one, this is probably where we should have started, ACC football. I'm going to take the next 2 minutes and just say that NC State, this is the year. This is the year. And I don't want to hear we're better when nobody expects us to be better, because that's just in your mind. That's not in anybody else's. That's in your mind. So don't self-medicate. If you're good, be good. Embrace it. Right? You've already decided that you're an NC State fan. Right? So you've already set yourself up. It can't hurt anymore. Right? If you say, well, we're better when people... That's not going to lower your expectations of it. Right? You still think that this team has a chance. It has one of the best returning quarterbacks in the country. We have to see what the offensive line is going to look like, but it has a great defense. If they can stay healthy, they'll be deep on defense too. I think their offense will be good enough, and it could be potentially great if they can replace enough pieces at skill position, running back, Amezi, all of that. Tight end, get better there. Devin Carter's back, who hopefully will take the real next step forward. Why not? I'm not predicting that NC State's going to be great or beat Clemson and win the ACC, but this is the chance.
I feel as though, and I want to get your thoughts on this, NC State season is going to be determined by that first game in Green Bowl on September 3rd. Well, I listened to Joe Ovius and Joe Gilley yesterday, and Ovius said, you know, college athletics is stupid. It doesn't matter about the matchup on papers. It's week one. Anything can happen. You know, a lot of people and some state fans would say, you know, that's the trap game. You know, we go in there with all this expectation and then we just let ECU punch us in the mouth on the first play of the game. Whereas Joe Giglio says that's also a big factor because if you want to have your ride off into the sunset season that a lot of state fans are hoping for, you can't have a dark cloud heading into week two.
No, you go and you win that game. Look, I don't think it's going to be easy, but East Carolina isn't right now close to where NC State is. So if you lose that game, it's an indication. It's not, well, that's week one. It's an indication if you lose that game.
Adam Gold here from my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. All right, Coach, simple. When do we start tax planning in retirement?
We should start as soon as possible because here's one thing, Adam. Taxes are not going away.
Right.
And so the game here is we know the rules. A lot of people want to ignore the rules or act like they don't are familiar with them, but the IRS knows the rules. And so when we get to retirement, they're going to reach in and start taking some of their money out of your accounts. So the secret here is to put a force field around as much as possible by strategically moving some of our money to Roth IRA or some of the other vehicles that aren't taxed, like special life insurance policies. You can borrow against your money there and never have to pay tax on your money that you build up inside your cash value. So there are a lot of strategies here. The one strategy that does not work is ignoring it. So let's make sure to not ignore it. The next 10 people will do for you your very own tax and retirement plan that will help you minimize taxation all the way through retirement.
800-661-7383. All you got is call, or you can text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter.
If ECU was a little bit further along, and I don't think ECU is not incompetent. I'm not trying to make that. But I think NC State could be legitimately good. They could be top 15. I think the baseline is for them to be a top 15 team. The schedule is not overwhelming for them.
I think the baseline to me is 4-0 heading to Clemson.
Well, that's what they should be.
Yeah.
They should be 4-0 going down to Clemson. Yeah. On the field, Texas Tech is their toughest non-conference game. Yeah, I know ECU is week one. Whatever. They should win that game. They should be probably a 10-point road favorite and win that game. So, but this is the year, man. Don't shy away from it. Don't NC State stuff it up. Embrace that this is the year. Go attack it. Do everything that Rory McIlroy didn't do at the Open Championship.
You still holding that from yesterday?
I'm not getting over that.
Getting over it?
No, he's like...
Almost like some state fans will never get over the wide right kick by Kyle Bambard at Clemson. So I understand.
Don't punt the ball to Gio.
Don't punt the ball to Gio.
By the way, that was in my list of college football memories. Punting the ball to Gio. All right, when we come back, Brian Geisinger, accsports.com. We'll talk also a little bit about Summer League, which is over. He'll be with us next. It's the Adam Gold Show. I'm Adam Gold. Graham Hill, the new guy, is sitting in for Dennis Cox. I'm old enough to remember when there were multiple NBA Summer League. Some teams sent teams to, there was like the Rocky Mountain Review. I think there were teams in Florida. There were teams in Vegas. Now, everybody is in Las Vegas for NBA Summer League. So we've got, they actually crowned a champion now. Do we have Brian? Brian Geisinger, are you there, sir? No, he is not there. Brian Geisinger is not there. We'll find Brian Geisinger in just a second. But it was an eye-opening summer league, and there are still things that need to be sorted out before we get to the start of the NBA season, like what happens with Donovan Mitchell? What happens with Kevin Durant? What happens with Kyrie Irving? We'll have to figure that out. So until then, we have to wait and see what happens. I'll tell you what, it almost looks now that all those guys are headed back to the Brooklyn Nets. It almost looks like Kyrie and Kevin Durant are all headed back to the Brooklyn Nets. And I'm not entirely sure that that's not where we're headed all the time. But at some point, we were always going to get back to that because Kyrie could only go one place. Nobody was going to give up what needed to be given up to get Kevin Durant. So it was just never going to work out that way. But it looks like Durant is going to head back. So now we'll see what Durant and Kyrie and Ben Simmons can do. I don't like Ben Simmons, but and Kyrie has become completely unreliable, and Kevin Durant has had health issues. Other than all of that, we'll see. Brian Geisinger, accsports.com, is joining us. Are we all set? Let's see. What's up, BJ?
Not much, man. How about you?
Doing well. All right, let's give me, because all the teams now show up in the same place. We don't have the splintering of Summer League. What stood out to you the most?
I mean, I think, you never want to overreact too much to Summer League and what you see, but it is obviously a great place to see a lot of first and second year guys, like guys that just got drafted less than a month ago, guys that are, all coming off a rookie season and back for Summer League, perhaps for the second time. As far as, I think local stuff that was interesting, how about Paolo Banchero going out there and doing the thing, totally looking the part. And looking to be absolutely the sort of offensive, half court hub of offense that he was at Duke, and sort of looking very similarly with the Orlando Magic out in Vegas. It was really fun to see only in, two games, how many different ways Orlando was able to use Banchero as a ball handler, as a screener, as a shooter, as a guy to throw the ball into at the post or the elbow. So very impressed with what I saw with Paolo Banchero. Very impressed with what Chet Holmgren looked like.
Yeah,
out of Gonzaga, I think he probably played some of his best ball, in the Utah games before everything migrated over to Las Vegas. But he looked excellent. The Thunder have a lot of interesting and talented young players. They're still a year or so off from really turning this thing around, but they've got a lot of stuff going on. I watched all five Hornets games, and I thought Mark Williams played pretty well. Only played about 100 minutes. It was really platooning at the center position with Kai Jones, who was one of Charlotte's first-round picks a year ago.
Right.
But I thought Mark Williams looked really good. I thought defensively, he still has a tendency to leave his feet and overhelp and leave the rim exposed, but he can really, he can block shots. And I just thought his timing looked pretty good. I thought his ground coverage looked good. I thought you could even see sort of the influence of Mark Williams, even when guys weren't trying to attempt shots around the rim, guys passing out of would-be layup attempts. So we'll see how that translates to the regular season. But I thought Williams looked active on defense, looked solid guarding the pick and roll. And he struggled offensively, but certainly had some moments both as a passer and a lob finisher for Charlotte. So I would start with all of those things.
The some of the stuff that I saw that really jumped out to me, though, was three players for the Golden State Warriors, because we saw Jonathan Kuminga, we saw Moses Moody, and we saw James Wiseman. And none of those – Wiseman wasn't even active. Kuminga and Moody played bit parts at best during the playoffs, and they won a title. Those guys, when you add that level of athleticism and potentially defensive ability, not to mention whatever they can do offensively, when you add that to that team's mix, it just seems, I think they're bringing everybody back other than Gary Payton the second, who I absolutely love. I mean, that looks like the start of another crew.
Yeah, I mean, that was the whole – the Golden State's plan was to have – at least the sort of, like, public-facing plan was for them to have the sort of, like, the aging core that we all know of Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, Andre Iguodala back, you know, Wiggins kind of a hybrid in between the old guard and this new mix of young players that were brought in. And I think the thought was you either use guys like Kuminga, Moody, Wiseman potentially like in a trade to go get you another like win now piece, or those guys develop. They're all very talented prospects, very different prospects too. So you can sort of like develop them simultaneously. You know, they're not going to like eat into the other guy. Maybe with Kuminga and Wiseman, there's like a little bit of overlap in terms of how they need to be used offensively right now. But yeah, like they've got pieces to, you know, if they want to continue to roll with this same group. And like, look, they just had the most expensive roster in NBA history this past season, and they're going to break their own record next year because the band's coming back together next year, and all obviously like you know Wiseman's salary, Moody, Kuminga, all of their rookie scale contracts are going to go up. I love Moses Moody. As a prospect, I thought Charlotte should have taken him over James Bouknight in the lottery a year ago. The fact that he fell to 14, I think was really a steal because he's just got game. He's strong. Kuminga, just an incredible athlete, talent. You can see what he does, just causing havoc. He just when he would get in games this season, he would start doing stuff. Not all good,
right?
But, you know, he would start doing stuff. And with Wiseman, you know, like Gold, we talked about this leading into the 2020 draft, like. I wouldn't have taken I would not have taken James Wiseman 2. I wouldn't have taken him in the top 5. He probably would have been somewhere from 10 to 14,
yeah.
You know, like
I'm
that
with you.
Third of the lottery for me. And but regardless of like what you think about Wiseman, it is good. It was good to see him back out there playing in Vegas. And I mean, the reviews were a little bit of mixed, but definitely had some moments. And it'll just be curious to see like, how if he's able to play real minutes at all for Golden State in the regular season this season, you know, that's like obviously the next step.
Brian Geisinger is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. Let me ask you about two situations now across the league. One of them in Brooklyn where Kevin Durant demanded a trade. Kyrie Irving demanded a trade. He picked up his, he picked up his option, his player option, and was trying to shop himself. Are they both going to end up back with the Brooklyn Nets?
I mean, right now, it's like starting to seem like that, especially for Durant, right? Because, I do think like the Nets are the most likely team for him to at least start the season on next year. You know, like I just – you look out, like Brooklyn's trade demands are obviously and perhaps fittingly very, very high. Phoenix, you know, I don't know if they've completely just like been wiped off the floor as a trade destination for him, but things have gotten a lot more difficult now with DeAndre Ayton signed to, you know, now you're re-signed as a restricted free agent. Like, you know, he's not tradable right now.
Right.
it's legally not tradable. And so, you know, there are some other reports being floated around that, you know, did Durant, he requested a trade, not because he was upset with how the franchise handled good friend Kyrie Irving, but because he's trying to use that as like some type of leverage play to get Irving traded, you know, like, but I don't know for what, like there really isn't much of a trade market right now for Kyrie, unless
nope.
It's going to be, you know, the Westbrook exchange and what would be the saddest deal in recent history. But also like, you can't trade for Russell Westbrook when Kevin Durant is in Brooklyn, even if I guess you're going to maybe buy him out and then
right.
do what with it? Like,
right.
just I don't really, it's tough to tell what's going on. Like everything feels like a lot of, you know, smokescreen, hearsay, whatever you want to say right now. But I do think like the Nets, I guess, give them credit for it. Like they decided to just ride it out with Durant. I guess the last thing I would say is like, if he is not dealt by training camp or the start of the season, like, Kevin Durant could decide to not play basketball. Like he could do what Ben Simmons did last season. You know
right.
what I mean? And just like not play and really force Brooklyn's hand. And then what would they do then? So, but yes, right now, I think Irving will be moved. I do think Durant at this point, and it could change, is like likely to be back in Brooklyn at the start of next season, whether he's, you know, actively playing or not.
If I would write on the back of Kyrie's jersey, caveat emptor, let the buyer beware. Man, I don't know why any contending team would trade for an unreliable player, because Kyrie Irving has proven that he is not a reliable person, let alone player. I believe he jettisoned the Nets season with his stance this year, knowing what the rules were going to be in his home arena. He could have avoided that.
Yeah.
And he torpedoed their chance this year. I can't possibly believe that Kevin Durant doesn't hold him somewhat responsible for what happened.
I mean, how could you not? And, like, just to be clear, Kyrie, you and I both know Kyrie Irving is an incredibly talented player.
Yep.
We've been talking about him on your show since I was a fill-in board op for you during the 2016 playoffs when LeBron and Kyrie won a title.
Yeah.
You know, so like it, again, we are fully you know, capable of understanding his skills and his talents on the basketball court, but unfortunately, it's like it's everything else, and he absolutely. Sank Brooklyn's season last season with his stance on not getting vaccinated. Like there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like there was some other stuff that happened, and Harden ultimately kind of quit and forced his way out too, but that was related directly to Kyrie Irving. You
100%.
Know? So it's just, I don't know what you do. The only contender that would trade for him is one like the Lakers that is so desperate.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because right now the roster, it's not championship good. This is the final stretch run for LeBron, whether he's going to play, you know, however many more seasons. By the way, LeBron is eligible for an extension starting the first week of August. Let's see what happens with those negotiations.
Jeez.
As they're going to now overlap potentially with a Kyrie Irving trade of some kind. So it's a mess, but only a team like the Lakers who could see the fit on the court with Kyrie plus LeBron plus AD and are so desperate to upgrade talent, because right now this roster is just not good enough to maybe even get out of the play-in tournament in the Western Conference.
Or make the play-in tournament in the Western Conference
because
Anthony Davis is almost as unreliable as Kyrie Irving, albeit for different reasons. Final question for Brian Geisinger at @BGeis_Bird on Twitter, accsports.com. Donovan Mitchell plays game one for which NBA team?
I will go ahead, and maybe it's going out on a limb here, and I'll say it's going to be New York. Just reading the tea leaves, they've got the package to get it done. I know there are some hangups in the negotiations right now between Utah and New York. I think it's wise for New York to be patient. Like, they ultimately have the best package to offer, so like there's no real need to rush it unless all of a sudden, you know, New Orleans wants to throw their hat into the race here. And maybe they will. I don't see it. So, I mean, I guess Brooklyn could try to get involved in this as well, but New York has the best package. They're motivated to get Mitchell for a bunch of different reasons. So I will say New York, but, you know, we'll see. When the calendar flips to August, things tend to cool a little bit.
Yep.
So I'll be curious to see how that goes, but I'll go out on a limb perhaps and say Mitchell to New York City.
Brian Geisinger, I'll talk to you soon, my friend. If you're going to be in Charlotte, I'll see you there. If not, I'll see you soon.
Yep, see you soon, Gold. Be
you
good.
Got it. Brian Geisinger, accsports.com. We have achieved halftime. Orange Wedges.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Graham, what you got for us?
All right, so yesterday on Twitter via Entertainment Weekly, first look new photos from the final season of The Walking Dead on AMC were released. featuring Daryl and Carol, who are two of the original characters from season one when the show first debuted back in 2009. Aaron, who debuted in season five, and apparently some off-brand stormtrooper group known as the Commonwealth Troopers. Adam, did you watch The Walking Dead at all?
No.
I did for a little bit, and then I just kind of got out of it when the storyline became too repetitive of humans versus humans rather than humans versus zombies.
Okay. Yeah, I was not into the zombie shows, nah. I don't do that. I didn't do, was it Twilight? What was those? Those shows were also zombie shows?
Twilight? I thought that was vampires.
Vampires.
Vampires and wolves, yeah.
They're kind of the same, aren't they? Zombies and vampires?
Sure.
I mean, vampires probably
more
dangerous.
One can't come out during the sun, I think. Isn't that how it works?
Right, I guess vampires are actually alive.
Yeah.
Zombies are not.
Yeah.
Zombies are afterlife. I don't know.
But, I mean, props to you if you're still watching that show because, like I said, 2009, that's it's a big, big difference right there. A lot of airtime. And then happy birthday to Doctor Strange himself, Benedict Cumberbatch, who turns 46 years of age today.
Who's that?
Doctor Strange.
Okay.
Marvel movie.
Yeah.
This would be more at Dennis's speed.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just saw it today on Famous Celebrity's Birthday, so
oh,
I figured I'd throw it in there.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember if there was anyone else. But yeah, Doctor Strange, Benedict Cumberbatch. So I'm guessing you've never seen any of the Doctor Strange movies.
No. Do you want to? I have two other celebrity birthdays today.
Okay.
I believe Stuart Scott would have been 57 today. So shouts to him. And I don't think I talked about it. He was inducted into the NSMA Hall of Fame posthumously, obviously, this past last month. I was there as a statewide recipient, but he was inducted in, and Scott Van Pelt did a kind of welcomed him into the Hall of Fame. Scott was also voted Sportscaster of the Year. He and Ernie Johnson shared National Sportscaster of the Year, but it was a really cool speech when Scott was talking about Stewart. So shouts to Stewart Scott. And Rachel Robinson turns 100 today.
Really?
Jackie Robinson's widow.
Wow.
100. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember you touched on the Stewart Scott, the awards banquet, the last time I was on the show, actually, when we had Wes Durham on. And Scott Van Pelt actually came over and congratulated you when you received your award. How cool. That's pretty cool. What is your relationship with him in the industry?
Scott and I went to college at the same time. We lived in the same dorm.
I didn't even think about that.
At the University of Maryland. Scott was on the 8th floor. I was on the 6th floor of Ellicott Hall.
Oh, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
glad you guys got to see each other at the awards. And that's pretty cool. All right, Adam, I want to ask you, do you remember last summer when the Zebra Cobra was loose in Raleigh and it became a huge deal?
Yes, big
well,
deal.
Well, now the goose is on the loose. This was provided to me by a friend on Facebook, but apparently this past weekend there was an injured Canadian goose spotted behind the Wendy's on Glenwood. Animal Control has been contacted, but they have had no success in acquiring the goose, probably because of how mean those animals can be. They're just cool to look at from a distance, but I saw like an up close picture of a goose one time, and they have like some vicious teeth. They can do some damage. Yeah.
They also just kind of mosey across the street.
Yeah.
They don't wait for the light to turn. They just go, and it's up to you. And if you hit a goose,
they're like college kids on Glenwood.
It's totally like that. It's exactly the same thing. And if you hit one, much like a college kid, you're in trouble. Seriously.
I wonder if that's how the goose got injured. Probably so.
And they don't have insurance. Sucks.
Maybe somebody will throw him some free, Wendy's nuggets or something, hopefully. But
we don't have to give him anything.
Yeah,
they're already disrupting the thing.
This is an ongoing story. We'll see if it ever comes to a conclusion. All right, and finally, on this day in 1935, the first parking meter in the U.S., the park-o-meter, was invented by Colton McGee. And was installed in Oklahoma City by the Dual Parking Meter Company. Adam, have you ever had any negative experiences with parking meters as far as forgetting, to pay it or whatever?
I mean, everybody has not fed the meter at some point. Whether or not you got a ticket for not feeding the parking meter remained, you know, is sometimes you get away with it. So, I mean, I've received a parking ticket for an expired meter before. I did recently have an issue because now they have these kiosks, right? I have two issues with kiosks that are worth talking about. One, I was just in Chapel Hill, right? And it wasn't like I put cash in. I needed a spot for like an hour, and it was like $1.75.
Sure.
And I put cash in, and you're supposed to be able to lower the payment, but it wasn't allowing me to lower the payment, so it took $5. I canceled it, right? I tried to cancel it, and it said, no refunds here. You have to go and call this office to get your refund. I put another $5 in, and it took $5 to park for where it would have cost $1.75. So I paid $10 to park where it would have cost me $1.75, which sucks, of course, but I'm not going through the time and effort to get $8.25 back from Chapel Hill. So consider that my donation. Thank you very much. I don't even pay taxes there. And the other one was we were on the Wrightsville Beach, and this was my son doing this. We're in Wrightsville Beach, and we were at a public parking lot where you pay at the kiosk, right?
Okay.
So he parked the car and just walked to the beach. Like
without paying?
Without paying at the kiosk. And we get back to the car, and there's a ticket on the window. I'm like, you didn't punch in the thing at the kiosk? He goes, no, I didn't know I needed to. I'm like, I'm blown away. I also had a brother once at on the Pennsylvania Turnpike who didn't take one of the tickets when you get on the turnpike, and then you take a ticket. Wherever you get on the turnpike, it has the marking of where you got on, and wherever you get off and you go to the ticket window, you pay for that distance. He didn't take a ticket, so when you don't have a ticket, you pay for the entire length of the turnpike. It went from like $1.50 to $14. Yeah.
I've never had any experiences with not paying a parking meter, but I have personally been towed 4 times.
Excuse you?
In my lifetime.
Towed?
Towed
four
from
times?
An apartment complex parking lot, twice in Greenville and twice since I moved up here to Raleigh.
That's way worse than having a parking meter expire.
It is. It's
four
not a,
times?
It's not a fun feeling when you walk outside and your car's not where you left it. So now I just take Ubers to my friend's apartments, or, you know what, you're just coming to my house. And, you know, it's definitely a lot more costly than...
4 times your car's been towed.
Not going to advertise the tow companies that did it because I'm not going to give them that satisfaction. But you know what? They have a job to do. I understand. You know, no hard feelings.
4 times your car's been towed.
Partially because it's on me. Anyways.
That is hysterical.
And that does
that
it.
That was it. All right. When we come back, we're going to place our bets. My gosh. We'll see how we'll do. Was not a good night for me. I think Dennis picked up a win. We'll discuss next. It's the Adam Gold Show. I am Adam Gold. Graham Hill is on the ones and twos today, playing the best of the 80s and 90s. Is this the music you listen to? I'm just curious.
Yeah, this was the music that I was growing up on. Thank you to my mom, Mary Margaret, who's also listening in.
Oh, is she really?
She is.
Shouts to Mary Margaret.
Yep.
Very nice.
She said that, dating back to my last comment during Halftime Entertainment, she said that...
Your mom was, she's what,
she
like
said, I have
live tweeting the show?
I have over $400 worth of hard feelings relating to those toe-ins in it, so... Yeah, we're going to leave that in the past.
All right, so real quick, before we get to placing bets, how did your car get towed 4 times?
So one time, it's actually really funny. I went to pick up a textbook at a classmate's house that
right.
I let him borrow, and I was literally in there for about 5 minutes. He's a huge Hurricanes fan, so I'm sure we were talking about something related to the Canes. And then when I'm walking out the front door, on the other side of his apartment fence, where, like, the main road is, I see my car getting towed away by the tow company. So that one was just really, they must have been around the corner or doing their rounds, saw me walk in, boom, got it, it's on its way. And then the other three, another time, was going to see a female friend, and she was like, oh, yeah, we don't have guest parking here. You can just park wherever you want. Walk out there.
Oh, you were sold.
We didn't talk much after. Yeah, I was sold on that one. We didn't stay in contact much. And then, you know, I'll just say the other two, you know, were probably just my fault. Just being honest, no, taking the blame myself.
Well, at least three of them were your fault.
Yeah, at least.
So it's fine. Look, don't park where you're not supposed to park.
Yeah, exactly right.
That's the bottom line. All right, so there you go. It is time to place bets. Are you ready to place bets, Graham?
I'm ready.
All right, let's do it.
Place your bets. Place your bets. Here we are. I bet you slice into the woods $100.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slide.
Yeah. Okay, you can owe me. I owe you one.
All right, so yesterday, real quick to recap, I went 0 for 3. I lost all of them. I had USA-Canada regulation draw. USA won 1-0. The only goal coming on a penalty that happened, I believe, the 78th minute. I didn't go 0-3 because I have a future. I have Arian Knighton today in the men's 200-meter World Championships. And I had Corey Seager losing to Juan Soto in the Home Run Derby final. Seager had a good opening round, but he came up against Julio Rodriguez, so that's a loss. And Juan Soto ended up winning it, so that would have been a huge hit, but I ended up minus 200, so I am now below 4,000. I'm at 3,870. Dennis had one win, I believe, Yeah, he had the win with the Costa Rica Jamaica draw because it was a regulation draw, and I believe Jamaica won in extra time.
Yep.
So good for them. All right, let's get right to it. I always let you go first.
So I am handling Dennis's units. No pressure to me. He says, hey. By the way, he just got to the hotel in Charlotte.
Hmm? Did you just say that out loud?
What?
You're handling Dennis's.
Yes.
Units? Okay.
I am.
All right, good.
Which I had some assists with this, so he can't really blame me. This I got to give a shout-out to my boy Mitch Bedore who helped me with some of these bets. So the first one, it's going to be all MLB All-Star themed games. The first one, I got the under of total run score, 7.5. The under is 12-3 in the last 15 MLB All-Star games, and we're expecting to see some really good pitching.
Always.
Plus the no extra innings.
Right. Absolutely. So under 7.5.
Yep, under 7.5.
So does it count? Like whoever wins Home Run Derby wins, so you'll get a run. So if somebody wins in a shootout, it's a goal. It counts as a goal. So will that? If it's 7 runs total, it wouldn't be 7 runs total. It's not going to come into play. It's either going to go over or it's going to stay under. Never mind. Keep going.
No run in the first inning at minus 155. There has been a hit in the previous 4 years, but hometown pitcher Clayton Kershaw is starting in his own stadium, so that should give him a little bit of a motivation factor to go out there and, get through a scoreless inning. Also, Cy Young is starting for the American League, and he is a contender. He's an American League contender. He'll start for the American League team. He has only given up 1 run or less in his last 5 starts before the break.
Cy Young is starting for the American League?
Mm-hmm.
Cy Young is no longer signing.
Oh, excuse me. It is Shane McClanahan. That's my fault.
I've got Babe Ruth did a home run at plus 400,000.
Oh man.
Oh, I'm sorry. That is very funny.
Live radio, ladies and gentlemen. What can you say? And then finally, the American League winning it at minus 1.5 runs for plus 170.
All right. Well, I wish you luck. All right, we're gonna go. We're gonna start. We're gonna start big. Shohei Ohtani to be named the game's MVP at plus 400. Shohei Ohtani MVP of the game plus 400. Is gonna hit and pitch. Right? I mean, he's gonna hit at some point. And we know he's going to pitch because he should. The American League, because they are the favorites, but if you take the American League minus a run and a half, you get him at plus money. So I'll take the American League minus a run and a half at plus 170 for the All-Star game. And first, total hits, runs, and errors in first inning, in the first inning, combined over three at plus 130. So hits, runs, errors combined first inning over three plus 130. By the way, I think Clayton Kershaw might not enjoy his first inning. Might not enjoy his first inning. I think American League is just ridiculously loaded.
And they currently hold an 8-game win streak in the All-Star game.
Yeah, it used to be the other way. I'm old enough to remember when the National League dominated the All-Star game. Dominated the All-Star game. And it's become the American League's domain. And I guess they have better players, even though players change teams every single year. When was the last time you legitimately watched an All-Star game?
There you go. I mean, I can't think. Can't think of it.
I will not see the first inning. Promise I will not see the first inning of this game. But I'm also en route to Charlotte. But if I was just going home for the day, I'd probably turn it on. It'd be like the fourth inning by the time I got to it.
Sure.
And it's just, it's not, I have to watch everything. I'll be there to watch the end of it. And sometimes you turn it on and it's already like 6-0. These have not been great baseball games lately because, there has been pitching dominance from one side. And once a team scores one run, it seems like they score five runs. These games have not been particularly close. But the All-Star games were also better games in the past. I will say this. Shouts to Major League Baseball for not putting players in silly uniforms last night. They allowed them to simply wear their team's uniforms. I think that's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah,
showcasing
like
the uniform.
Just like in the All-Star or in the dunk contest, you get to wear
your
team's uniform.
And I understand in the NBA All-Star game, you want players to kind of all dress the same. But we don't need that in baseball. The home team will all be wearing white. And the visiting team will all be wearing gray or whatever comes close to gray. All right, well, we'll hit the wall of sound. You'll hear a lot from SEC Media Day yesterday, including Nick Saban on the future of conference affiliation. Next.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.